Is your team not performing well? Is morale low and turnover high? Are you falling further behind the competition? I'm here to help. I'm your host, Shaney, and this is the Leadership Show, where business strategy and culture finally meet, and we make the long-awaited shift from rhetoric to results. I promise I'm not your typical boring leadership consultant, and I will help you get your shift together. Let's do this. Hello, Leadershifters, and welcome to the Leadership Show. I'm joined today by Carolyn Cole. Say hello.
Hello. Honored to be here. I love your work and what you're doing. We have to talk more about this when we're offline. Awesome.
Absolutely.
Thrilled to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. Thrilled to have you. So, Leadershifters, Carolyn is like, she and I wonder if our brains were separated at birth, because we have such aligned thinking about the workplace, and we have very similar backgrounds in terms of I like to call myself a recovering investment banker. Carolyn is a former corporate litigator, right? So we both come from these super serious backgrounds and have found ourselves in the space of leadership and success and coaching. Leadershifters, you know, my tagline is where business strategy and culture meet. Carolyn's tagline is where business success and happiness meet.
We may have to talk about that. Something's got to give.
That's fine. Well, I think, Leadershifters, there's a lot of similarity. And I think where we're going to take this today in the direction of how you can really, from an OD perspective, because in addition to having a lot of other titles, Carolyn has an OD background and a degree from Johns Hopkins, and she is a lady of many gifts and a Jill of all trades, right?
Yeah, Jill. I'm tradey.
Yeah, let's go. So, okay. Carolyn, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Tell us what Boom Tank is.
Boom Tank is where business success and happiness meet. And Boom Tank is the fulfillment of a dream. And as you know in your business, and most people know in their businesses, it keeps evolving, it keeps getting bigger, and it keeps encompassing more the more reach it gets, right? So 3 years ago, I left my corporate law career knowing I wanted to live before I died, and Boom Tank was the result. So Boom Tank at its core is really about reinvention and some other things.
Okay.
And it's across life, business, or career. And in the corporate setting, it's OD. You talked earlier in the pre-chat about change management and managing those leaderships. So it's about reinvention in a corporate structure as well, but it's all about reinvention. And I like that word because it's just concise. I can make longer sentences. I can make it more complicated. But the reality is anytime you're trying to improve something, your life, business, career, your company, your departments, your groups, your teams, you're talking about reinvention. That's it.
Yeah. Well, let's start with the reinvention of you. Tell us about your corporate litigation experience. What did you love about it? And what caused you to give it all up and do Boom Tank?
Great question. I loved my employers. My employers were very good to me, and my bosses were very good to me. So it wasn't one of those things I left as a malcontent. I was very happy in what I did. However, I think most people are this way. It's you feel something inside of you that you really want to do, or many things, and you weigh that. Is it worth just stopping that and doing something totally different? Or do I stay with what I'm doing and try to balance something in, or just stay with what I'm doing and just cast those dreams aside because I can never have time to get to them? So
yeah.
Those are three scenarios where people land. I chose to truly live on all 5 points of a star before I died. So I changed everything. Now, I don't recommend that for everybody, by the way. Okay, that's not what I recommend to everybody when I talk about reinvention. For me, though, it's what I was truly called to do, right? I was called to change everything, and I did, because I just wanted to live, for me personally, on every point of a star I could identify, and everything that I was passionate about, and everything I wanted to do, and to give back to the planet, back to people, and do something that was really heartfelt and big, okay, before I died. You know, I think at our core, we all want to make a contribution, and that contribution can be in any setting. It can be in your setting, your business setting, your life setting, your spiritual setting, whatever it is. But when you're called to do it, the trick is, the old saying is, you know, people hear the phone ring, they hear the call. The trick is to answer it.
Yeah. What was the call that came in for you specifically?
It was the call to go because I love business. It was to explore business. It was to explore all the things because I'm highly creative. And my employers, even though I was in litigation, I had OD positions. I had management positions. I was an instructor. I was a speaker. I was allowed to do a lot of creative things in my career. And I suggest that for all the companies out there, let your people be creative. Let them find outlets so you keep them and they can grow. For me, though, it was truly stepping out and being an entrepreneur, which I wanted to be. I wanted more flexibility in the time to address what I wanted to address in my life. So mm-hmm. spiritual is a very big piece for me. Making a difference in people's lives is important to me. Helping people create great businesses, run great teams, that's very important to me. Most important to me is people having an amazing life. That's important to me. And I'll tell you why. Because I felt I was missing my life because I was working 7 days a week, crazy hours year after year after year. I was literally working my life away. And for me, I knew that I could carve out something better, still work incredibly hard and have success and happiness, which I focus on with everything I do because it's success and happiness meet. But I wanted to be able to shape that because where I had placed myself in those positions, it didn't allow for that. So I realized I could go and create that for not only myself, but for others in different forms. And as you said, we both walk the entrepreneurial world and the business world, meaning corporate, and we can do that. We're blessed to be able to do that. Does that answer your question? Was that close enough?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny because you said you actually loved your job, the companies you worked for, you liked, you had great bosses. And you still chose to leave. I talk to so many people who don't really like what they do, don't necessarily work for great bosses, and choose to stay stuck where they're going, or, you know, where they are instead of.
Yeah, well, let me correct that, okay? I'm glad you caught that because I just glossed over it and I shouldn't have because I wasn't thinking that way. But as far as my job, oh, I was so ready to leave it, okay. Right? Because I climbed all the mountains I was ever going to climb in law. I mean, I was nearly 20 years in a courtroom. And I had courtrooms, I tried cases in Washington, D.C., Maryland, and I also managed in Northern Virginia, right? So I had all of that courtroom experience. And these were jury trials. These were bench trials. These were every kind of trial you could imagine, some big, some small. And I climbed every mountain I was going to climb. And I looked at myself and I'm like, I can't keep doing Groundhog Day every single day. And once you're locked into a corporate trial position, at least with the companies I was with, it's very hard to get promoted out of that, especially if you're highly successful in it. The paychecks will come, the bonuses will come, but they want you there. And I understand that because that's the task. And, you know, with another company I worked for, I was promoted into management. I was sent to home office and I did a big process reengineering OD type project. And it was wonderful. It lasted for 8 months, actually, at the end of the day. Did a lot of really cool behavioral stuff with the company. And that was really great. And that was the only time in those 20 years I had other pieces locally I could do. But on that grand scale, I just wanted more of that. I also wanted to work with entrepreneurs. So I wanted the freedom that came with designing your own life and still working hard and doing those things. So I'm still in touch with law. I'm still an attorney and I'm still a member of all the bars. And I envision here in 2019 doing pro bono for different organizations I want to do just to keep my hand in play and to keep my contacts. And yeah, I don't want to cut off that entire part of my life. I love that part of what I achieved. It was just time to achieve other things.
Absolutely. I totally get it. And you know, you call it reinvention. I call it shifting. Same difference, right? Moving into the next thing, whether it's physically shifting jobs or shifting our mindset about our current situation. And one of the shifts, as you know, that I'm really advocating for in the organizational sphere is culture has to be a more important component of running a business for the most senior level executives. Like they spend so much time on strategy and one could argue that many executives don't even do a great job executing on strategy, and then they relegate HR to own the culture piece. And, you know, it's like, oh, and maybe they created some values 20 years ago, but haven't really checked in on them. And there's a big difference between, you know, the overt values that you see on the wall and the covert behavior that the senior most leaders are exhibiting, and everyone's going to follow suit. And so with your OD background, and the real experience that you had doing that in a Fortune 100 company, what advice do you have for a leader shifter who says, yes, I agree that I need to spend more time focusing on culture in my company, but now what?
Okay, so first off, I'd like to kind of agree on a definition for organizational development, right? There may be some people in leadership who aren't quite sure what it is. They hear it, but they don't know. And it's basically aligning the mission, the people in the company together. And that includes aligning leadership, groups, teams, the individual, all of those pieces with the mission, whatever the overriding mission is at the time, and submissions and all of that. Mm-hmm. And doing it in a way, I interpret OD in a way that is the most pain-free, energizing way you can do it, right? I think that should always be the goal of OD too, not to just accomplish those things.
Love it.
Accomplish those things in a way that people get enthusiastic about them when they're already leading crazy busy lives. They're showing up at work. Some of them are just showing up at work because they're so stressed out and stretched out in terms of energy, sleep, stamina, the whole thing. How do you get them energized to now get the company rolling and energize the company? So I don't see it as just like, okay, we need to change. All right, let's do process reengineering. Let's do this and that and the other. It's like, wait a minute. This is a great opportunity to get people energized, including you leaders who are burned out too, to get going with this. So that's how I look at organizational development. Now, you and I talked about this pre-chat, and I think it's a very great point. The businesses in this country, the pendulum has now swung. For nearly 20 years, it was an employer's place. Mm-hmm. They called shots. You want it out. That's fine. I got 500 resumes here. Somebody's going to sit right there in the next 2 minutes. All right.
Yep.
First time in 20 years, now the pendulum has swung and it's like, wait a minute, we're having some labor issues, some experience gaps. You know, we're now it's becoming more of an employee market. Everything has its cycle in life, real estate, finances, yep. Even corporate hiring and firing, all of that. And now we have to pay more attention to culture because now you need it to address this pendulum swing that's here.
Right. Plus, you won't get great talent unless you're competitive, not just on salary and benefits. So many other things matter.
Right. Right. And including happiness. And I think you and I are outliers with that because I looked at your website. It's great stuff, but you're trying to really empower and energize the leadership, and you are in the different companies you're working in, because really, truly, this is beyond debate. An energized person is more attractive and can be more persuasive and inspire others more so than somebody who is just with the door closed. Really? There's no call here. And I think probably because companies have not been around that long in the history of humankind. And I think companies are also maturing. Some parts of the world, they recognize their worker and they treat them better than other parts of the world. But the fact that parts of the world give, you know, a month off for vacation, that's pretty dramatic, and that's a recognition of something's changed. And this country has been pretty much, you know, head down, 7 days a week, do it. And it's changing. It's changing with the advent of the millennials, and we talked about this earlier. People are like, millennial, this and that. And first off, I completely disagree with ever labeling anyone anything. So I've always taken exception to the media labeling them, everybody labeling, but people do it because they're comfortable with that. But I salute them. I salute them because they're bringing about healthier changes. They're just as industrious. They want to succeed just as much as the next person. They're just not going to do it in the old-fashioned ways that ground people into dirt and left nothing for anything.
That's right.
Do that.
Absolutely. And by the way, 75% of the workforce will be millennials by 2025, which isn't very far off.
They're going to be senior management. And, you know, I think that depending on how that all shakes out, it could be a great day because every generation brings change. Everyone does. Yep. And I especially like the change they're bringing because, frankly, with the advent of technology and just the fact that so much more can be done remotely and we can travel so much more and work anywhere around the world if we wish, so many more options for employment and creative leadership exist that didn't exist, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Just absolutely. I love it. So another thing that we were talking about pre-chat was, and this goes back to the we can't burn people out idea, right? And the millennials are the champions of we want some balance. So what have you seen out there as you do OD consulting work, some of the good things, the best practices out there, and some things that you would caution people against?
Well, it's all going to be business dependent. It's all going to be needs dependent. And whenever you, I, anybody like us is hired to come in, it really is do no harm. You know, we shouldn't bring in our, what we envision for the world and impose that on people. So you listen and you try to understand what is best for people. In your realm, when you're dealing with leaders, I will say, I want to talk about women for a minute, okay? Because I told you the genesis of my business when I started was to help sharp female entrepreneurs and the cool guys who supported them. And then it's grown, right? It's grown on all different fronts, life, business, career, the OD piece, all of it. So entrepreneurs, professionals, C-suite executives, all of that, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, with women, what I have noticed, and I'm going to just talk in your realm, even though leadership is a small piece of what I do, it's more OD, right? You're big on the leadership piece, which is huge. It is that women, if they're not careful, and some men, mother and they father. And that is, to me, micromanaging, right? And I think that where there are systemic problems and problems within a corporation and people are reporting the greatest dissatisfaction, you either have an absentee leader who just closes the door and doesn't acknowledge people, doesn't check in, doesn't weigh in, because frankly, in fairness to them, they could be so overburdened and overworked, that's how they're going to get their deliverables met. So I understand that. And then the other one is the micromanager who treats the employees as children, right? And as children, I have to watch them because they'll play and frolic when I'm not. And here's the kicker. If you treat people, teams, people, whatever, as children, they'll start acting like children because that's the expectation. And they'll say, whatever. You really have to know how to grow up your organization, grow up your team, treat them as adults, treat them as valuable contributors. Of course, there's always going to be some people who don't perform for whatever reason. It might not have anything to do with your corporate structure, or your walls. It's something else about them or their life or something else they've got to fix. But by and large, if you go in and you treat them in a certain way as adults, and that's one piece. The other piece is, I think there's an amazing opportunity now for leaders in all the companies to appoint people to really ferret out how people can do their job faster, get it done during the workday, when it should be done at a high quality, and then get out of there. Mm-hmm. Because the productivity studies have shown the longer you work, the more your productivity goes down. So there are productivity studies that show if you work a 10-hour day, you are only 80% productive of that if you multitask between five different things in that day, five or six. And you do. You've got email, you've got phone calls. The average employee gets interrupted, and the studies vary, every 1.15 seconds or every 3.15 minutes, something like that, right?
Right.
So that on top of, I'm working on this on my computer, I'm working on this, and there's something else happening over here. And if they could get a handle on that and let people work through it, and then not still expect them to work beyond it to understand the pros of that, I think that's amazing. The two biggest changes I love seeing is that employers are talking about doing away with the open floor plan. Horrible for productivity, creativity, everything. It's great for socializing, but the employees report they need that quiet time to get stuff done, and you just do. You know, when we were in class growing up in school, we didn't have a loud, wild class. We were all quiet. We were all doing our work. And when the teacher said, okay, work on your homework for tomorrow, we were all quiet doing it. We didn't have interruptions and dinging and winging and all of this, right? So this multitasking stuff. And the other thing that I'm seeing now is certain companies are now experimenting with a 4-day work week, provided the proviso is, hey, you've got to produce. If you don't, we're yanking it back. Totally, totally acceptable. So I like those developments, and I feel largely they're brought on by millennials. I really do.
Yeah. So I want to pause right now and call to action for the leadershifters here, because you just said a few really important things. Mm-hmm. Let's not mother and father our employees. And here's why, from my perspective, here's why it resonates with me. I speak to a lot of leaders who say, oh, I am so caring about my employees.
That's a female leader you're talking about. That's a female leader.
Mostly, yes.
Mostly, yes.
And it's like a false sense of being a good leader. Yes.
We don't have any models.
We want leaders to care for people, but not to the point where they're either enabling them or overpowering them or multitasking. That is actually not serving the employee. And part of what I teach leaders how to do is to be more coach-like, right? I mean, when when I relate it to sports, people finally get it. I say, you know, as much as I hate the Patriots, at least everybody gets this analogy. I say, Tom Brady is the quarterback. He's the one throwing passes and handing the ball off to runners on the field, not Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is on the sidelines, not doing Tom Brady's job. Yet the leaders that I talk to who say, oh, you know, I care so much about my people and da, 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 da. Like, yes, care, but don't do their jobs for them, which leads to the next point you made about productivity. How are we spending our time? And is it productive? And are we doing less in more time versus more in less time? And I want to challenge leadershifters to think about that. Are you being as productive as you can? And as part of the cultural changes that you say you want to make in your organizations, are you really encouraging a separation of, you know, church and state, so to speak?
It's funny because nearly 20 years in corporate, you had massive, crazy great experience in corporate. In all that time, productivity, the word, was never mentioned one time on any day, in any month, in any year I was in corporate. Okay? Never discussed. And the kicker is, what is the number one complaint of leaders and employees? I'm overworked. Mm-hmm. The day goes away. I work my guts out and I don't get anywhere. I'm always behind. It's always pressure. I can't. Now listen, work is work. There's always going to be pressure. There's always going to be work to be done. But if you look at the tools that can help you, amazing. Yeah. And you really claim your life back and your time back and really put the company on a different path. And you have a very good point on your website. People don't leave companies. They leave toxic cultures. That's mm-hmm. brilliant. And the other thing is that when you mother and father employees, it's okay to care. I mean, you should care, right? Mm-hmm. But when you're actually mimicking mothering and fathering, what does that leave for you? How quickly are you going to be depleted if every moment of every day you're trying to tend to every single thing about every single employee? That's not what a leader does. A leader leads. It's not mothering. It's not fathering.
Exactly. Right? Because when they're mothering and fathering, they're not doing their own jobs, which is frankly stymieing their own career trajectory because they're spending too much of their valuable time doing other people's jobs instead of doing the more creative, strategic stuff that they should be doing as leaders.
Yes.
Yep. So let's talk a little bit about women. We talked, and I saw this on your website, about something called the shame bell. And what strikes me, I'd love you to explain that to the leadershifters, both in terms of what it is, why we have it, and why we need to stop fucking ringing it if we're ever going to achieve true parity in the workplace.
Yes, I borrowed shame bells. Well said. Woohoo! I borrowed shame bells from Game of Thrones. Not everybody watches it. Not everybody thinks it's healthy to watch it. I do watch Game of Thrones, full disclosure.
Okay, and I don't, so I had no idea it was borrowed. I thought it was your genius.
Well, it kind of is because okay. They didn't talk about shame bells in any regard about what we're going to speak to. It's not even close. There is a main character she's not a very nice character, but a main character that finally gets her comeuppings in this one scene. And the thing is that to spare her life and let her see her son, she has to do a walk of atonement for all her evil deeds, right? By equally bad people imposing this on her, by the way. Nobody's got clean hands in this whole
scene. So Game of Thrones version of Scarlet Letter?
Well, it was kind of. Yeah. Except that the people passing judgment are just as bad as the people getting the judgment, right? So in this one scene. So everybody's not good. So she has to take this walk and she has to take it naked as a queen. She was a queen. So she has to do it naked, walk through this town to get to a castle to get to her one remaining child who's still alive if she wants to see him. And she's pelted and stoned and there's a woman behind her who's not a good person either, who's got on this big habit and she's got this big bell and she keeps ringing it. Shame. Shame through this whole long walk of atonement for this character named Cersei, right? He's doing this and the whole town's out and they're calling her awful names. I mean, it's just a shameful, horrible thing she has to go through. It's terrible, right? Now, when I came up with the shame bells, that's how I feel that women, because a few things are at play here. It's the ancestral DNA of women, that women, we've only had the right to vote 100 years next year, right? Yes. We've only had businesses probably since the 70s, only gotten on boards at the 20% realm in the country within the past couple of years, right? Past 2 or 3 years, something like that.
And only because
a lobby for it.
We've been ringing like awareness bells.
Right. Awareness bells, because there's been a conscious lobby to have more women on boards and minorities and, you know, just all of this, right? Inclusion across the boards. So I'm still being very kind to women, including myself, including you and everybody, because really we're Western women. You know, we're not even talking about women in the East. We're talking about Western women, the privilege we have and the responsibility that comes with it. So we haven't been at this game very long. And this year, in 2018, there's a record number of women running for Congress, right? That has never happened anywhere in the world, this many women seeking office at this high a level and this number. So all of this it's continuing. We're doing fine. But here's where we come up short. And we come up short because, and Judy Robinette is a legend, and she is arguably the top female power connector in the world and maybe the top power connector among men and women in the world. Her book is How to Be a Power Connector. All right, Judy Robinette. And she was on my show, and I was able to talk with her and talk with her after on a few other occasions, and really interesting. But her book really lays this out well. I call it ancestral DNA. She just lays it out factually as something else. So that's my term, not hers. But she does say men get rewarded for joint venturing and teaming and getting together, making things happen. And that's what they're taught to do. They're taught really solo success is a myth, that you need to partner and team with others to make things happen. And they do. If you look at some of the greatest singing acts, if you look at some of the greatest business ventures in the world, that best companies started by two people, right? And they were men. Women, however, have been raised to help. Men get rewarded for achievement. Women get rewarded for helping. Mm-hmm. Men form joint ventures. Women look for friendships. You know, and there's nothing necessarily bad about this, except it costs you in opportunity. It makes you work three times as hard as you have to, and you never really fully blossom into who you're going to be because you have these ancestral limitations in your head that tell you, wow, if I go after success, that's wrong. That's not what a woman does. If I talk about success, shame. If I talk about making a decent income and then contributing back to causes that are important to me, shame. If I talk about joint venturing, shame. If I talk about, you know, climbing the ladder or wanting things or show ambition. And I told you, I recently wrote an article about three things worth fighting for: your success, happiness, ambition. Women look at ambition as a negative. Yep. Guys, it's all encompassing, wonderful, yep. Right? So it's the whole thing about understanding that that's a myth. Okay. All these things are myth, that women and ambition can be synonymous, and you can be ambitious about more than just your career and more about your bank account. You can be ambitious about your spirituality, how you live your life, your relationships, how you help, all of it. So don't walk away from that word. But here's what happens with the shame bells. When women do rise, and they do unapologetically, and that's where I see it triggered most, where they unapologetically assert what they're thinking with confidence, no apologies, the shame bells ring. Who is she? Who is she to do that? Who does she think she is? Whereas if there's a guy doing the same thing, it's like, oh, awesome. Way to go, guy. We're right behind you. Yep. And we need to check this with their children. Are they supporting their sons more than their daughters, even in this year? Okay. Do they expect more from their sons than they do their daughters? Do they discourage their daughters from achieving? And then if we step beyond the family, how are you reacting when you see, even in social media, okay, a woman who's a New York Times bestseller, okay, just gave a speech to the United Nations. Are you scrolling saying, oh, that's good, but not leaving a comment or just putting a like when it should be love a million times and the congratulations? And I find that a lot of women, when they really get there, and especially on their way, that's when the shame bells really ring, because it's a need to keep you in your place, because these women truly feel they're doing the right thing by keeping you in your place, because somehow you getting out of there is immoral. It's not what women do. So they really think they're coming from a good place, but they're not. And it makes them feel like crap when you move on. Right. So ring the shame bells. And you know, thing is that watch for crickets. If you get crickets when you come out strong and you have accomplishments, you need to change your circle, because you're around women. Maybe they're not consciously ringing the shame bells, but they're sending you a message. But most times, I remember seeing something, and this woman posted a very good, strong thing about her skills, her capabilities. And then there was blowback from it. Like, you know, some people have arrogance, and they shouldn't have arrogance. See, when a man does it, it's not arrogant. I mean, it can be, but by and large, it's not. It's just, that's what guys do. When a woman does it, it's arrogant. It's being full of yourself. It's stepping your place. And to this day, I talked with at least two women who have sought angel investing and venture capital funding for their businesses. And they were basically told to know their place. You're stepping out of line here. Literally told that language, like, don't get uppity in this day and age, because there's still that perception. And yes, men ring the shame bells at women, but I do find that women are especially harsh with those bells, and it needs to stop.
Yeah.
And so, how to support successful women.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I feel like some of the shame bell ringing, where women ring themselves in their own head.
Correct.
That's
how they check them in, because they were raised, and to them it's a moral wrong. And I'll tell you, the queen bee syndrome still exists in corporate America. It still exists outside of corporate America, where there's one queen and she wants the men to flock around her and no other female bee can come near. So let's call it as it is, because that's still out there too. Another story that's kind of interesting. I want to share this really fast, because I think this is going to be illuminating, but it's not about shame bells and women. It's really about the corporate boardroom. I had a really great guest on. Her name was Dr. Frumi Barr, and she works at a high level with executives in the manufacturing sector. Kind of cool what she's doing now, especially with the stuff they're manufacturing to track animals and what they're doing. And it's really fascinating. But she said that she was part of a board meeting, and a woman came in and gave a presentation, and she left, and it was all men. And Frumi said, how come she's not on the board? How come she's not seated here? And the head guy says, because she didn't ask. Prumi said, what? He said, and this is going to help a lot of women out there listening who are in leadership or want to be. And he said, because she didn't ask. And she said, I don't understand. He said, she never asks, how do I get a corner office? She never asks for a mentor. She never asks how she can get in the C-suite, how she can get to the top. She never asks. She just sits in her office and works really hard, and that's fine with us, because until she asks, why would we approach her? So Frumi said, do you mind if I talk with her and do her this service of sharing this? They said, sure, go ahead. So she told the woman, you need to ask. And I think it's literally within 2 years, the woman was in the C-suite.
That's awesome.
I want to share that with you too. But look at that. That was a group of men who welcomed her in. So right. I'm not bashing women across the board. There are some great women out there. We just need more.
Yeah. And I feel like millennial women have less of the queen bee thing than some of the older generations.
I agree.
And I also want to say, like, ask for it, not just if you're a woman, if you're anyone who feels like you're not getting a fair shake, right? Whether, you know, because you're a person of color, or you have a different sexual preference, or your nationality, or, you know, whatever it is.
Even if you're a guy and you
keep getting- Right, exactly. Don't be afraid to ask for what you want.
But wasn't that powerful? Because honestly, I always felt that way. And I was blessed enough to always ask, right? And I just thought that was a given, but it wasn't. And that was the code language. And you find that in power networking, there's a code language. And the code language is, how can I serve you? How can I help? Not what I can get from you, not listen to my idea and what do you think? It's like, how can I help you? That's code language at that level. Code language at the C-suite is ask.
Yep. Great. Well, I think this is a good time to sort of recap and wrap up, which is back with, you know, continuing to pull on that thread of OD and what leaders can do differently. First of all, energize your people. You need to be energized, leaders, about the culture change that you're creating. If you're energized, people below you and beside you and all around you will be energized. And if you energize people who work with you, guess what? Your clients will be more energized, and your shareholders, if you're a public company, will be more energized. So the wealth gets spread when we come at it from a place of, this lights us up, rather than this is a fucking chore. Okay. So I think that was a really great piece of the conversation. Living on.
I do want, if I may, yeah, I do want to add to that, that I think the leaders, and I have so much sympathy and empathy and all the warmth for so many, because some of them are thrust in the position, okay? Some of them take it because it's just the next logical step and they don't want Groundhog Day. They don't want to keep doing the same thing over and over. So they take the advancement. Okay, I took advancement, so did you. Mm-hmm. The thing is that on the other side of it now, looking back in and back at my life and back at all the people that I know that are still there, the trick is to stop at some point and reinvent your personal life, because that's going to carry over into your work life and make everything so much better. Because if you're constantly draining yourself, your potential, and you are just not enthused because you're working your life away, that's going to limit what you can do in the workplace and limit your potential. So pay attention to that, because it's not always about the work. You've got to fix your life and your work life to live in harmony, to live a really great life and to be an exemplary leader. That's my take.
100%. And some of the other things we talk about really roll right up into that, which is, how are you spending your time? Are you micromanaging and you think that you're doing people a service? Well, you're not. You're not serving your own success and your own balance if you're doing that. And what's your definition of productivity? So I think this entire conversation, I think, really supports what you just said. So I thank you for all of that. And I want to also remind leadershifters of the three things worth fighting for: success, happiness, and ambition, which means ask for it if you want it, right? And if, and if the answer is no, not yet, find out what you need to do or learn or be or experience in order to get you what you want. Because the intersection of success and happiness is exactly what we've been talking about here. Any last parting words of wisdom for the leadershifters?
It's going to be the time-tested, life is short, okay? Don't forget that. Yep. And you can have an amazing career and still live your full life, and I'm begging you, go get your full life. I'm begging you. From the
live on all five points of a star. I love that.
It's an old Jewish saying, actually, and it's brilliant. And please, well said, do go live on all five points of the star. Don't wait. You can have it all. You just have to figure it out.
For sure. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been a pleasure and a good time, and I've learned a lot. So I appreciate your time and joining us today. Leadershifters, if you want to reach Carolyn, how do we do it?
Oh, thank you. That's so kind. The best way is simply come to boomtank.com. At the top of boomtank.com, you'll see all of my social media channels. I'm on every platform except for Snapchat, but I'm on all of them. And you can also subscribe. Please join my email list. I would love that. And I want to be able to support you. I've got to figure out how I can support you in your work there, culture changer. So, find me at boomtank.com. I'd love that. Also, I have the Boomtank Business Show that's available globally on all the podcasting platforms. That's iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Overcast, Spotify, iHeartRadio, on and on and on it goes.
Awesome. All right. Well, leadershifters, thanks for coming on this leadership ride with us again today on the Leadership Show. Shani Magoski signing off. We'll see you next time. Until then, if you have questions or comments or ideas or guests you'd like to see interviewed here, hit us up at hello@theleadershipshow.com. All right. Thank you. Mwah.